Thank you, Petra. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Almirall Q1 2019 financial results conference call. This presentation was released earlier this morning and is available on our corporate website. Presenting today, we have Peter Guenter, Chief Executive Officer, David Nieto, Executive Vice President, CFO, and Bhushan Hardas, Executive Vice President, Research and Development, CSO. Peter will make some introductory remarks about the first quarter and later come back to sum up. David will provide you with detail on the financials, and Bhushan will update you on our pipeline. After that, we will open up for a Q&A session. Before we move ahead, I would like to remind you that certain statements that we will make in the presentation are forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect Almirall judgment and analysis only as of today, and results may differ materially from current expectations based on a number of factors affecting our businesses. With that, I will pass you over to our CEO, Peter Guenter.
Thanks a lot, Pablo, for the introduction, and good morning to everyone on the call. I am pleased to say that we have had a very encouraging start of the year, driven by key brands and the launch of our new products. David will take you through the financial details shortly. We continue to see good momentum in our European psoriasis franchise, with strong Skilarence growth and a good initial uptake of Ilumetri in its first country, Germany. I will provide you with some additional details on both in a moment. As you know, we launched Seysara in the U.S. in January, and we have been very encouraged by the strong initial data, having achieved both good coverage and sales volume. I will also elaborate on this shortly. The late-stage pipeline is progressing well, with positive top-line phase III results for ALM-14789 in actinic keratosis, which we presented at the AAD. As you also will be aware, we signed an option agreement for lebrikizumab. The top-line phase II data are in the public domain, and we have recently received from Dermira the full phase II data, and we will make our decision by early June. Bhushan will discuss both of these interesting products later. In summary, we are very pleased with the momentum generated by the business during the first quarter, and therefore are confident in meeting our 2019 guidance. You've seen this slide before, but I think it's an important one because it enables you to see how we are moving forward in executing our strategy and transforming our portfolio with innovative products in medical dermatology. We have launched and are continuing to roll out Skilarence and Ilumetri across Europe, and we launched Seysara in the U.S. in January. Not far behind, we have ALM-14789, for which we have positive phase III clinical trial results for two studies in actinic keratosis. The main reason why I like to show this slide is to remind you of the leverage potential these products will provide to Almirall. These four key growth drivers combined could generate peak sales in excess of 650 million euros. When you consider that our product sales in 2018 were a little over 750 million euros, you can see just how transformational these products could be for the business. This excludes our option agreement for lebrikizumab, a potentially differentiated biologic in atopic dermatitis, a large and growing market, which could become another significant growth driver for Almirall. In this slide, you can see the sequence of the launches. These four key growth drivers combined will be transformational to Almirall, plus the potential of adding lebrikizumab. We are increasing our portfolio with a series of innovative launches with incrementally larger product opportunities to drive future growth. Let me now provide you with some comments on our launches. First, Skilarence. As you can see from the chart, Skilarence continues to progress well with an impressive year-on-year growth and excellent quarterly momentum. Growth in Germany is coming from both switched and new patients, and we are very pleased with the demand in the Netherlands, which is an important market due to the significant previous DMF experience there. Furthermore, this quarter has seen good unit increase in Spain, adding to overall unit growth as we continue the excellent momentum in Europe. A strong foundation has been set, and we continue to roll out across Europe, having launched in Italy in the first quarter. Moving to Ilumetri. Since the launch of Ilumetri in Germany at the end of last year, we have been very pleased with the good initial uptake, having achieved a solid sales performance during the first quarter. These initial signs are encouraging and give us confidence that Ilumetri will be another important growth driver for Almirall. In terms of launch planning, we are on track with the subsequent launches across Europe, having recently received approval by NICE for the UK market and Swissmedic in Switzerland. This year will be a very busy year for our teams with a number of key market introductions and with more to follow in 2020. This graph compares the first four full months of patient uptake since the launch of Ilumetri versus the three most recent launches in Germany, which were one IL-23 and two IL-17s. The common time is zero, with month one representing the first full month of patient uptake for Ilumetri, that was December last year. You can clearly see how well the launch was received, with patient uptake surpassing most recent IL-17 launches. Let me remind you about the profile of Ilumetri and why we are excited about the potential of the product. Psoriasis carries a high disease burden, and patients can have a very significantly impacted quality of life. It is therefore important that any therapy provides long-term control to reduce the disease burden and improve the quality of life. We believe that Ilumetri has a strong profile, with the key attribute being a proven lasting efficacy with only 4 injections per year during maintenance and with no significant safety concerns. The combination of an excellent safety profile and lower dosing frequency will encourage long-term patient adherence to the treatment. Now, moving to the US. This quarter marked an important milestone with the successful launch of Seysara in the US. Seysara was launched in January with a focused plan, and we are very encouraged by the initial data, having achieved 50% payer coverage by the end of the first quarter, of which 35% is unrestricted. If you recall from our full year 2018 presentation, this was our expectation of market coverage for the end of 2019, which we now anticipate at the 60% level. We foresee additional upside by gaining market share in the non-branded segment, where there is a high volume of products lacking innovation. KOLs and patients alike continue to give excellent feedback, both on the utility and effectiveness of having an oral antibiotic approved for a wide age range of patients. Seysara's launch brings us a major opportunity, which we expect to contribute to overall revenue growth, benefiting from our strong selling capabilities and specific knowledge of this market. I will now pass on to David to run you through the financials.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning to everyone. Today, we delivered solid financial results with total revenue growing 13% and net sales 17%, driven by the acquired portfolio in the U.S. and the product launches such as Skilarence, Ilumetri, and Seysara. Gross margin at 73% had a very positive evolution, improving about 400 basis points as a result of product mix. SG&A remained flat in absolute value despite important investment in Europe and U.S. launches. We continue to exhibit strong control on the cost side. With this, we delivered operating leverage with EBITDA at 80 million euros, growing 34% versus Q1 2018. During the quarter, we successfully divested Thermigen and continued to execute on our capital allocation priorities. Finally, we experienced some challenges with a sales decline in emerging markets, which we expect to recover later in the year, and lower than expected operating cash flow driven by U.S. accounts receivable timing collection. On the next chart, I want mainly to highlight two things. First, the contribution to Q1 growth from our launched brands, Skilarence, Ilumetri, and Seysara, as they start gaining momentum in their respective market. Second, the acquired product portfolio in the US, which importantly contributed to our growth in Q1. This is a portfolio that we acquired from Allergan. Turning to the P&L, allow me to briefly highlight a few things. Net sales increased 17%, benefiting in particular from the performance of our medical dermatology portfolio. Other income was lower than last year. However, we expect a sharp increase in the coming quarters driven by two milestones achievements. In R&D, we continue to invest in order to build our pipeline with the goal to remain within 12 to 13% of net sales by year end. All in all, we deliver good operating leverage as all financial indicators are going in the right direction and EBITDA margin reached 35.7% of net sales. Regarding the P&L below EBITDA, we continue to manage each element very tightly. The increase in depreciation and amortization line is coming from Allergan acquisition and the additional amortization, which represents about 50 million euros a year. Our net financial expenses represented 6 million in Q1 and were mainly driven by exchange rate differences, which details are available in the backup on page 33. Thermi was treated as discontinued operations and represented a loss of 3.2 million for the quarter. Finally, we achieved normalized net income of 32.6 million, representing normalized EPS of 19 cents per share. Looking at the balance sheet, I want to highlight an increase in the intangible assets, mainly driven by the Dermira option fee for lebrikizumab. A sharp increase in accounts receivable, which is related to the timing of U.S. collection that will be resolved by the end of Q2. A decrease in our financial debt due to the partial cancellation of our revolving credit facility. Overall, we continue to have a healthy balance sheet and a good cash position. Taking a look at the cash flow statement, the operating cash flow generation was 29 million, below our expectation, given to the timing of accounts receivable collection in the U.S. Also, we are going back to normal level of corporating income tax following last year's important benefits. The investment line includes the Dermira option fee paid during the quarter. The interest payment were about 1 million for the quarter. All in all, our free cash flow was negative by 8.2 million given the important investment done during the quarter. I will now pass it over to Bhushan for an update on the pipeline.
Thank you, David. As you know, we announced positive results for the phase 3 clinical trial in actinic keratosis with ALM14789. This data was also presented at AAD this year. In addition, we are pleased to announce in March, FDA approved Duaclair for chronic obstructive pulmonary diseases, COPD. It is a combination of aclidinium and formoterol, which was a part of our agreement with AstraZeneca. Though for obvious reasons, we only talk about late-stage pipeline here, we are fully committed to highly innovative dermatology product development internally. This quarter, we also strengthened our early-stage pipeline by announcing a new research collaboration between Almirall and Hitchin. This strategic partnership will identify new molecules with the potential of becoming a new oral for atopic dermatitis for patients suffering with atopic dermatitis. Regards to regulatory submissions, in Q3, we plan to file ALM-12834 for the treatment of chronic mycosis. And in Q4, we plan to file ALM-12845 for treatment of androgenic alopecia. Both filings are for EU. Now, let us take a look at lebrikizumab. Lebrikizumab is a monoclonal antibody, humanized, developed, which binds with a high affinity to IL-13 cytokine. It is developed primarily for moderate to severe atopic dermatitis. Lebrikizumab has potential to be truly differentiated therapy for patients with atopic dermatitis. As you are aware, we acquired an option to develop and commercialize the product in EU with an upfront payment of $30 million. And most of you know that in late March, Dermera released positive top-line results for the phase 2b trial in atopic dermatitis. Now we have received the phase 2b data package from Dermera. It will take us some time until early June to make our decision whether to execute or not execute the option. To be very clear, there are no pre-specified parameters in terms of clinical trial results in the option agreement. If we do decide to execute an option, we will pay additional $500 million. And as you see in the figure, the clinical trial for phase 3 will start in Q3 this year. With this, I hand it over to Peter for closing remarks.
Thanks a lot, Bhushan. So as you have clearly heard from us this morning, we have delivered a strong Q1 with the business performing well within our expectations. Solid business momentum has been driven by key growth brands across Europe and the US. We therefore are confident on our 2019 guidance that we provided at the start of the year. As a reminder, this had already incorporated the discontinuation of Termigen. Following on from this, we are confident in Almirall's growth products being driven by the rollout of Ilumetri and Skilarence in Europe and following the US launch of Seysara for acne, where we have already achieved the number one branded product position. Furthermore, as you heard from Bhushan, we are progressing our pipeline with positive phase 3 results for ALL14789 in actinic keratosis and reinforcing it with an option agreement on lebrikizumab. We also remain fully focused on searching for additional external opportunities to further complement this growth profile and generate sustainable value for shareholders. So, Pablo, I hand back to you now for instructions on the Q&A.
Thank you, Peter. Petra, back to you for the Q&A, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And the first question comes from the line from Trung Huynh from Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three if I can. Firstly, we've spoken to some KOLs who have said while they like Seysara, the use of antibiotics is dwindling because of fears to resistance. So they try one, and then if that doesn't work, they'll move on to something stronger like a retinoid. Have you seen this shift in using less antibiotics in the treatment of acne? And then just two modeling questions, if I can. Gross margin was strong at 73% for the quarter. Is this the level we should continue to expect for the year, or should we expect it to increase given the mix of your newer products is getting bigger? And then finally, we saw a big step up in net financials because the new debt and FX. Again, how should we think about net financials for the year? Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Trent, for your questions. I'll take the first one. I'll defer the second and the third one to David. So on your question on Seysara and use of antibiotics, oral antibiotics in acne, we know, of course, that some KOLs indeed would give you that information. But if we look at the facts, at the numbers, we see actually that the market, the use of oral antibiotics in moderate to severe acne is amazingly stable. So it's really since, months and months and months, if not years, a very stable market, and it remains a very huge opportunity. So you have seen from the numbers that we have actually had a very strong inroad into the branded segment. But of course, the name of the game is long term. Also, get into the market of the undifferentiated generic oral antibiotics, and I think Seysara has exactly the product features to do just that. So on the second and the third question, I'll defer to David.
Thank you for the question. On the gross margin, it is definitely a geographic mix that we're experiencing positive. And I think if you look at it in constant currency or constant exchange rate and in actual exchange rate, both are positive. between 350 and 440 basis points. And I would say this is something that, you know, we will see how it goes into the year. But it's a level of the gross margin that we should expect, I would say, from now until some of our products in the U.S. goes generic. On the third question on net financial expenses, I would say that you have some details on the slide 33 on the backups. The financial expenses as such were 2.3 million from a P&L standpoint and about 1 million from a cash out. The difference came from exchange rate differences, which are, you know, out of our control. But this is the way you should model it. Modeling exchange rate is going to be a challenge, and you can just model what you know. Go back to that that page 33 will give you the answer, and I'll be happy to have a follow-on call if needed.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line from Peter Welford from Jefferies. Your line is open.
Hi, yes, thanks. Firstly, on lebrikizumab, I'm curious, there's obviously the opt-in decision you said early June, and then I think you said 3Q for starting the phase 3. Is there other terms within the collaboration, I guess, to enable you to have a say ahead of that in the phase 3 trial design? I'm just thinking presumably you'd like to opt in and then be involved in that process, particularly given the potential differences in EU regulatory requirements. And also, how do you think about then the phase 3 in as far as other than trials Almirall would run themselves, or is this very much a worldwide collaboration with all trials being run on a global basis? Just then on a few financial questions, just on tax, first of all, the rate was a little bit higher in the first quarter. Any insights you can give us on a sort of tax rate we should be thinking about for the full year? And then also, just with regards to other income, I think you mentioned two milestones that will help that in coming quarters. Obviously, one we know about is the sales milestone you've disclosed. I presume the other is the Duaclair milestone. Is there any sort of visibility you can give us on that? I haven't seen a press release, but insofar as the impact on the P&L and the cash flow of that milestone in the U.S. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Peter, for the question. So I'll defer the first one on lebrikizumab to Bhushan.
Hi, hopefully I answer all your questions. So, yes, we have received the phase 2B data package, and it will take us until early June to make a decision. We are projecting, if we go ahead with this option, the clinical trial will start possibly in Q3 or Q4. Almirall definitely has a say to influence and collaborate with Dermira very closely in regards to both the design of the phase 3 protocol from an EU perspective, as well as any kind of collaboration which is required for conducting the trial in EU.
Let me perhaps just add to that, Peter, that in terms of timing, given where we are now, we think that the start of the trial will be rather, you know, the beginning of Q4 than the end of Q3, to give you a little bit more precise guidance. And in the agreement we have with lebrikizumab, actually, as Bhushan said, it is an overall agreement on the design of the phase 3 pivotal studies. And, of course, within that, we have also foreseen specific EU trials that you have to do from a payer standpoint. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So there is actually the clinical data package that you need for the regulators, and then specifically for EU payers, you need sometimes specific additional studies, and we have actually foreseen all those studies in the agreement. The questions on tax and other income, David?
Yes. Thank you, Peter, for the question. So on the tax rate, let me maybe summarize Q1. So basically we had 9.3 million of tax going to the P&L, which represent 20.5% tax rate. This is, as you mentioned, a little bit on the upper side of our range. We continue, and I think this will normalize by the end of the year, to be between 18 and 20% tax rate. That's the way you should model it. And if you look at the cash flow was 3.5 million negative, which negative, which is a payout of taxes, of course. Last year was positive because we had a lot of positive things that we did last year, like we highlight on the slide, coming from the carryback opportunity of the tax, Trump tax reform, and other things that we could apply last year. So last year was a little bit of an abnormal year in terms of tax rate. This year we're going back to a normalized or normal tax rate of 18% to 20%. When it comes to the net, to the other income, sorry, I think Q1 was exceptionally low. Having said this, this is one of the quarters that we still deliver very strong EBITDA despite having a low other income, which demonstrate that our P&L is strong without, you know, any other income injection in that sense, or no, or normal level of other income. And when I talked about the two milestones, I'm talking about the one we already, I think, published that we have reached during Q2 in April, which is a $65 million that it's a sales milestone related that we have achieved with AstraZeneca. And out of the $65 million, partially will be paid or has been already paid in Q2, and partially will be paid next year at the same time next year. And you will see that that coming to the P&L in the quarters to come. The second milestone, which is more product launch related in the U.S., we're not giving details about it, but basically we always said that we would expect it in Q3 to have that event happening. All in all, everything has been reflected in our guidance with an increase of the other income of plus 20% versus prior year. So this is going by normal course of business, although it's a little bit difficult for you to model and to understand what is going on. But everything is going as expected on our side, and everything is under control and it's coming through. You will see it in Q2 and hopefully the product launch milestone in Q3.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line from Casey Arikatla from Goldman Sachs. Your line is open.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. This is regarding Ilumetri. Can you give us some information on the price point of Ilumetri versus competition? I understand that you're in the initial months of launch in Germany, so the price point is not necessarily negotiated yet. So if you could give us some idea on what is likely to be the final price versus competition. And also, sticking with Ilumetri, for a European country considering to include the drug in their treatment paradigm, how important is having fewer injections given that this is subcutaneous and not intravenous? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the questions. You know, on the pricing of Ilumetri, as you rightfully say, this is only the first 12 months. You go through the AMNOG procedure, and then you, after the negotiation, you will find up with the you know, the final price after negotiation in Germany. So far, we have priced the product quasi on par with the other IL-23 that has been launched in the German market so far, which is Guselkumab of J&J. And we have also obtained, as you have noticed, a positive NICE opinion, which was, of course, subject, like I would say all NICE approvals, of a patient access scheme, which is a different way of saying, well, you have to give us a rebate to become cost effective. But that is the normal way it goes in the UK. As you know, these rebates are confidential, and I cannot reveal here this rebate we gave. Now, the fact of the matter is that we have had now a very good NICE appraisal with a cost effective drug, and we're also looking forward to see then the first uptake in the UK in the second and the third quarter this year, because, you know, you also have to go to different CCGs who have 90 days after NICE positive appraisal to implement the NICE guidance into their local CCGs. So I think it's speculative where we will land after the AMNOC negotiation in Germany with the net price. So I think we'll have to wait for that until we have the final call on that. Your second question on the four times per year injection, you know, the feedback we have from the market is actually very good on that. Even if it's a subcutaneous injection, it is a very important element of differentiation. and especially in Germany, where patients typically would see their dermatologists back every 3 months, because that's the way the German system works, actually, that actually coincides perfectly with our every 3 months injection. So yes, it is a different, it is an important element of differentiation.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line from Jose Maria Canovas from JP Capital Markets. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. Actually, most of them have been answered. Just wondering, we saw working capital during the first quarter slightly above our expectations and somewhat high, mainly related, as I'm reading, to the receivables in the U.S. So I just wanted to know, are these the normal levels that we should be expecting for the rest of the year, or should this figure normalize over the coming quarters? Thank you very much.
Yeah, David.
No, on receivables, we had a timing issue on the collection. I think, you know, it depends on how, when you ship and how you collect. But basically, also with the launches of Seysara, which came, you know, started in January, but some pipeline was maybe filled a little bit late in the quarter. So you should see by Q2. The balance sheet normalizing and the cash flow, operating cash flow, getting stronger and the working capital coming down. So this is just something that you will see a little bit of course, receivable as we grow the business, as it's getting integrated, say, Sarah in the U.S., but, you know, not that level of that you see today. I will quantify it at about 20 to 25 million is what we basically should have collected that we did not in the first quarter. All right?
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And just a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question is from the line from Isabel Carballo from BBVA. Your line is open.
Hello, good morning. Well, my question is regarding the EBITDA guidance for full year 19. Given that you have achieved an EBITDA of 80 million this quarter with a very low figure for other income, if I multiply this figure for 4, I've reached to an EBITDA figure above your guidance. So is this because you expect an acceleration in a particular expense in the coming quarter, or is any additional spend related to lebrikizumab that you are forecasting for the second part? Thank you.
David?
Yes, Isabel, thank you for the question. I have to say that we are very encouraged with the launches of our product in key markets. Of course, we have to invest behind it. I have to say that our cost control is going the right direction, and Q1 is a very strong start of the year. But it is premature at this point to upgrade the guidance. I mean, we still have, for multiple reasons, we cannot extrapolate Q1 into the full year EBITDA. We have seasonality effect. As you know, we have some seasonality products in Spain that are strongly in Q1 and the rest of the year. And we also have Hackzone in the back end of the year in the U.S. So more to come. Let's see how the second quarter goes, but we cannot extrapolate the first quarter into the full year. But I have to say that we are very pleased with our first quarter and our cost control and product mix too.
Thank you. We have one further question from the line from Trang Hu from Credit Suisse. Your line is open.
Hi, just a quick one. Can you remind me when you expect Axone generics to come in and how quick and aggressive that erosion would be? Thanks very much.
Thank you. So the Axone, we said at the acquisition time that we expected in the second half of this year, maybe 2019. We see this coming, I would say, in the second half of the second half, so more around the fourth quarter at this point. And as we go into the process and some news are coming around. We will we'll let you know more, but our expectations are now more into Q4.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you. And we just got another question through from the line from Jamie Escribano from Banco Santander. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. So two questions from my side. The first one is regarding the legacy portfolio of Allergan, excluding Seysara. Could you tell us how this is performing? And secondly, regarding Ilumetri, you were telling us the competitive differentiation factors versus previous IL inhibitors, but my question would be if there is any differentiation factor also with the Johnson & Johnson product, or how are you commercializing, or how are you positioning Ilumetri versus its direct peer? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie, for the question. So first on the U.S. business, ex-Seysara, I can tell you we're very happy with the way we have integrated this portfolio. You know, we have the necessary commercial infrastructure, not only, of course, to push Seysara, but we have other products like Axo and Tazorac and some other products that we have re-put into promotion. And we see actually that the reactivity to promotion is very good of those products. If you would sequentially compare first quarter 2019 and fourth quarter 2018, and even more the quarters before we took some products back off into promotion, you will see that it's actually moving in the right direction. So yes, we're happy with the way we have been able not only to launch Seysara, but also the way we have been able to see again reactivity to promotion of the ex-Allergan portfolio. Your question on Ilumetri and the differentiation vis-à-vis the J&J product guselkumab. So the biggest differentiation, I guess, is the frequency of injection, where indeed we have a every quarter injection, whereas guselkumab is every 2 months. So that is actually a benefit we have. But I think the more important picture to look at is that if you would talk to many KOLs, they would tell you that IL-23 is really providing a very, very good longevity of response compared to other classes in psoriasis. And I think that tiltrakizumab or Ilumetri, being a IL-23, we're going to benefit from that overall positive momentum that the IL-23s will have. You know, I think we will rise with the tides of the IL-23. So we're very very happy with what we have seen in the first quarter this year so far.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, and we do not have any further questions. With that, I will hand back to Pablo for his closing remarks.
Thank you very much, Petra. We are now going to close our Q&A session, and with this, we will complete our conference today. We want to thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.